debt. You got to go to bed thinking about it. You wake up thinking about it. Here's the truth. The system traps you in debt. High interest credit cards and loans make it nearly impossible to pay off your debt. And don't forget insane inflation. That keeps you stuck paycheck to paycheck. Done with debt is your lifeline. Done with debt has an ingenious new strategy to help you erase your debt faster and easier than you ever thought was possible. Done with debt analyzes all the debt options you qualify for. They know how to reduce your bills. They know how to get interest rates cut. Their skilled staff of negotiators know how to get the debt out of your life permanently, without bankruptcy and without a loan. Done with debt are the experts in brilliant strategies for eliminating debt. But you need to hurry because some debt solutions are time sensitive. So here's how easy they make it. Go to donewithdebt.com. That's donewithdebt.com. Again, donewithdebt.com.
Live from the Sunbelt Rental Studios. It's the Bubba the Love Spot Show.
Tony just walked in, so they're going to escort him right to the studios, and we'll get to have him for, I don't know, 15 minutes or so, and then we'll see if he can stay around for the after show.
Nice.
They probably got him, like, on a big-time junket where he has to hit, like, another 10 pieces of media. I think he's probably already done TV. We might be the only radio he's doing. And that's just probably because it's a friend deal at the end of the day.
It's because you're Bubba.
Yeah. Anna, you've never, you don't know anything about racing. Like,
well,
nothing.
That's not entirely untrue or true.
You did go to the St. Pete Grand Prix.
I did,
last year.
I'm familiar with cars.
Did you like
and
that?
Roads.
Did you like that?
I had a lot of fun.
Did you know that Tony owns one of the largest, most prestigious dirt tracks in America, something you'd know nothing about?
I think I did know that. But
Fred,
yes,
we're on the air. Come on in, buddy.
Hi. Nice to meet you.
I like it. We got you ready for the mic. We're live on the air.
It's like a ginormous billboard right there.
Yeah. I like corporate Tony. He's so much nicer. It wouldn't have been near as pleasant if we'd just seen each other at the race shop. There would have been a couple of F's and stuff, but Tony's getting into position.
You said getting in position, not getting in the position.
Only you, my friend. Boy, I got to tell you, they had you looking good as hell on the Daytona 500. They had you looking good. You looked about 35.
Hey, I'm not aging that bad.
No, you're actually, honest to God, do you think that you could get in, honest to God, if you think you could get in one of your own, you know, you own four cars, do you think you could get into 41 tomorrow and be competitive in the 500?
In the 500, probably. In going to Fontana this weekend, probably not.
Or Bristol.
Definitely not Bristol. I am not race fit. That would be the biggest problem, is just not being
Talladega
right
and Daytona all day.
All day.
All day. I was a little surprised. I was watching the broadcast on Sunday where you said you were with Larson one time, and Larson actually said that Bell was a better driver than he was.
Yeah, we were literally sitting in Atlanta in my motorhome, and we were watching a live stream of a USAC race out in California, and he goes, "You need to watch this kid." I said, "What's his name?" He said, "Christopher Bell." I said, "Never heard of this kid." He goes, "Well, you're going to." He goes, "He's better than I am." That was literally Kyle Larson's words. Now, I'm not sure it's lived up to that. I think Kyle's still better than Christopher is, but Christopher is a huge talent for sure.
Wouldn't you say, and you're recognized as one of the greatest of all time, you, AJ, wouldn't you say that Larson is there? Like, he's, I've heard you say privately that he's amazing.
He is amazing. It's been fun to watch him. Obviously, what he does on dirt is huge, and the sprint car, winning the Knoxville Nationals, winning the Kings Royal. I mean, he's won the big sprint car races. Then he gets in dirt late models now, and now he runs good there. He's won a cup championship now. What's going to be exciting is next year when we get to see him run the Indy 500. That's going to be a really cool deal.
And now you've done that, and you know this guy's skill set, and I think there, you know, I think maybe there was, you kind of took a run at him a little bit. I think it's not a secret that you wanted him when he got in his little scrape up, which I completely thought was the biggest bunch of bull crap ever. We're not going to get into that. But you took a run at him, I think, didn't you?
We did. It was, and we were really close. We just had one hurdle to cross at the end that, again, I won't mention, but
yeah,
we had one hurdle that we just could not get across.
And you wanted it so bad because, I mean, that's kind of, if you were going into protege type world, like it was AJ who did it all, and then the next guy that really kind of did it all was you. You were the next guy that kind of could do it all. He's the next guy that can do it all.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, going on down the line.
The thing about Kyle Larson is he's one of those kids that you literally, you take him out of the box, you put him in a car, and you just tap him on the head and you go have fun.
Drive it.
And he just can drive anything, and he doesn't have to think about it. Like, you know, I'm getting ready to run a top alcohol dragster, you know, this
year. We're
going to
get into that momentarily.
And I got to think about everything that I'm doing with it. So it's, and I'm using that for the comparison with Larson, and where that kid, you just say, well, you got to do this and this, and he'll just get in and do it. He doesn't have to think about it.
And the other thing is he can drive an ill-handling car. He'll take an ill-handling car and make it work.
Sure.
You know? Yeah. And that's one thing that you, I think a lot of people don't know how, one of the reasons why you were so good is because if you had a car that was tight and you had, before they started restricting the cars on down to like, you know, crate motors, you would just gas it up more in the corners and free it up on your own, on your natural ability. You could drive an ill-handled car. And when they locked the cars down as in toward the latter part of your careers, kind of was to your disadvantage because it made the cars so even that not ill-handling cars were not, you know, you couldn't make them do, you didn't have the donkeys to make them do what you wanted.
That's exactly right. I mean, they basically neutered them.
They did.
And when they started taking the power away like that, that's
hurt
when,
you
know, that took the tools that I had in my bag to go fast and figure out how to make up the difference. That took all that away.
Speaking of which now, so you're getting ready to do top alcohol, you know, dragster. And I think the only difference between, you know, what Leah drives and you drive is the fuel, right? I mean, I think that aren't they the same length?
It's about 6,000 horsepower difference.
Well, no. I mean, I do know, I know the huge difference in motor, but I think other than that, they're pretty much identical, aren't they?
For the most part, the car is almost identical, but the motor and the fuel, you know, we do run nitro in the fuel as well, but a much smaller percentage with the alcohol dragster, but you know, literally to go from Leah's car that has 11,000 horsepower to go to an alcohol dragster that's 5,000 horsepower.
You've never been with a woman that says, I have more horsepower than you, have you?
Just this time, bud.
She scoffs at your four-cylinder mini stock.
Well, she's the one that kind of really pushed us for this year, and I'm excited about it. I mean, I ran 11 races total last year, and that wasn't enough for me. So, you know, having the opportunity.
And you got to be by a girl by a millionth of a second just because she hole-shotted you.
Thanks, buddy.
No,
appreciate that.
Not to rub it in.
Sumo told me to bring that one up with a Gooch kicker.
Well, when I get home, I'm going to kick his ass. Yeah. So we'll sort that out.
And, well, you can't kick Gooch's ass now, can you?
Not Gooch. Gooch is getting older, but he's not old enough. I mean, Gooch still weighs a, you know,
3.5. Here's the thing about Gooch. Gooch could be as old as
here a week or two ago.
Gooch came in a few weeks ago and sat in when he was with when the All Stars were at East Bay. He came on in. The thing about Gooch, you'd have to hit him in the head with a pipe in order to disable him. You know what I'm saying? Seriously,
well, you're gonna have to bring two pipes because you're gonna screw up the first one hitting him in the head, and then the second one might actually do the job.
So, are you the Gator Nationals will be your? I mean, because you're gonna do the whole season here, top alcohol, are you not?
I am, and it's the awesome part about the Gators this year is I get to run the baby Gators the week before, and then I get to run the Gator Nationals. So, you know, to be here in Florida and get to kick off the season at the Gator Nationals and. You know, it was where TSR actually won their first Nitro race with Matt Hagen in the funny car last year. So, you know, Gator Nationals has a special place in my heart, you know, because of our team and, you know, to get the opportunity to race two weekends in a row and get the regional race and get some time back in the car after the winter and then get ready for Gator Nationals.
Now, you've driven everything. You've literally driven open wheel modifieds, midget, silver crown, asphalt, pavement. Motorcycles. Now we used to talk to Selzy and Capsy, and they're like, you know, you guys may think we only go 4 or 5 seconds or whatever, and make fun of us. We only go this. He goes, but It is completely the most sketchiest thing that you could ever think about, and now you're doing it. So give us your rendition of it.
That is why I'm doing it. I mean,
it's straight. It's probably something you've never had. Tony Stewart needs sketch, and you've already sketched yourself out with every other form of racing. So you got to take sketch to the next level, is what I'm thinking.
Yeah, absolutely. It's, you know, I'd never driven anything over 1,000 horsepower, and that was in '96 in Indy cars at the Indy 500. So, you know, then to get an opportunity to test with Lea's top fuel car. The more laps I made in that car, the more I realized this is the dumbest thing I've ever done. I mean, this car is way faster than I am. And what I mean by that is what people don't realize, a car that has 11,000 horsepower that runs 330 mile an hour, and in the first 60 feet of that is already running 100 mile an hour in 60 feet. The acceleration is incredible in these things. So the hardest part of driving is getting your brain to process the information as fast as it's happening.
But your brain's still back at the starting line, yeah. And you're 100 feet down, right?
So when you're 100 feet down and your brain's at the starting line, if something happens, you're probably not going to catch it. So, I mean, that's the sketchy part to it. And, you know, talking to Selzy and Caps and, you know, talking to our teammates with Lea and Matt, you know, Lea can tell you how far it carries the left front tire when she gets on the gas. I can't even tell you there's a left front tire on the car till after we get by the end of the finish line at the top end.
And she actually is really, really good. I mean, she's, you know, not only is she your wife, but she's also very competitive and she's very good at this and drives it on the toppest of levels. Did she encourage you to do this? I mean, you know, I mean.
Well, I think it was kind of a mixture. I mean, when we started dating and I started going to the NHRA races with her, you know, you're standing there and you're watching what's going on, but you really don't know because everything in motorsports I had done before with NASCAR and IndyCar and dirt track racing, it all was kind of in the same bubble. But
yeah,
then you go to an NHRA race and you watch all this and all of a sudden you realize this is a much, much larger deal. And there's things that you just can't even understand and comprehend. It's kind of on Fantasy Island off to its side. So the more that I got interested in it, the more, you know, listening to her comments and debriefs with the crew chiefs, I wanted to understand what's the feeling like that she's talking about. So I went down to Bradenton, Florida, and went to Frank Holley's driving school and really enjoyed it. So
you did quite a few passes there, didn't you?
Yeah, I actually went back. I did two schools with him in a row. I did a two-day deal and then went home, and I told Lea, I said, there were a lot of things that I didn't do right, and I just wanted to go and clean it up. And I had no intentions of doing anything past that. But, you know, I'm competitive, and I'm one of those guys that if I don't do it right, I want to do it till I do it right. So went back to his school a second time, had a really good deal there, and you know, him and Lea, before they left, said, hey, we ought to get him in a top fuel card and let him make a couple hits. So
now, Selzy always talked about the deacceleration when you throw the chutes. He's like, that's sometimes more violent than the takeoff.
Yeah, and it's funny because, and I answer the question a little different now, but somebody asked me at the shop last year, they said, what's it like when, and Lea's crew chief was right behind me, and I had no idea he's back here, and somebody goes, what's it feel like when the chutes come out? And I, without missing a beat, said, relief. Yeah. And the guy and the crew chief started laughing. He goes, I've been in drag racing 20 years. I've never heard anybody say relief for what's it feel like when the chutes come out.
Because you're like, it's done. I'm over. I'm fine.
Well, I know I'm going to stop.
Feels better than hitting the sandpit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because if you don't get stopped, you go into a big ski net.
Oh, yeah.
Hard.
And you've completely junked your deal. I mean, those things are, you know, they're just tubes, are they not?
Yeah. And it's not like being at Daytona or the Indy 500 where, you miss pit road and you just go back around another lap and come in. It's make it, take it, miss it, kiss it. You either get stopped and turn off the track.
Make it, take it, miss it, kiss it.
Or you go and auger that thing in a ski net. So, like, when the chutes come out, I'm just excited that I'm going
to
get stopped.
You know, TV does not do any justice to for NHRA. You cannot even fathom. By the way, the Gator Nationals, March 3rd through the 12th. Go to NHRA.com for tickets. Tony's team will be there. Hagan, his wife Lea. Tony will be competing in top alcohol. But the one, maybe you've been to the Daytona 500, and probably the most impressive thing about the Daytona 500 or something about NASCAR is, and Tony, you're obviously participated in this, but when after you take the green on that very first lap, when you're finally up to speed and they come through the start finish line as a thundering herd of buffalo, like, that is an unbelievable moment because that's the closest they're ever going to be. You got 43 of them, and TV can't give, you cannot appreciate that unless you're there. NHRA, you cannot fathom how violent this, it's so, you're thinking, how can you put that much violence to the ground? You can't understand it.
And I tell everybody, I've been around motorsports for over 40 years. A NASCAR race is, unless you're there for the party for the weekend and you're camping for the weekend, it is 10 times better if you're going just for the race. It's 10 times better to watch it on TV than be there in person.
Yeah.
NHRA, it is 10 times better to be at the event than it is to watch it on TV. If you can't go, then watch it on TV, obviously. Watch it on Fox. But if you can be there, when you buy your ticket, this is in all forms of motorsports I've ever been a part of.
From dirt totally midgets different. To Silver Crown.
Yeah, to NASCAR and IndyCar. You buy a ticket to the race and you get your seat, you can't get down where the cars are in the pit area.
Nope.
You go to an NHRA race and you go to the Gator Nationals here in a couple weeks. When you buy your ticket, you go everywhere but on the starting line. Like,
right.
You're down there where the teams are when they're doing the warm-up. People are smelling the nitro fumes. And I had no idea until I met Leah how passionate the fans were about being down
niche.
In the pit area.
Oh.
And the fumes, I mean, there'll be 40 people sitting behind the car when the car starts.
Trying to get high off the nitrous.
What the hell?
And the nitro fumes burn your eyes so bad that by the time it's done, there's 8 people standing there. And they won't leave for nothing. They are not leaving. And I've seen people and I've heard stories where they'll take trash bags and they try to catch the fumes in a trash bag and take it.
Those
some real degenerates.
Well, they just take it home. And
man,
it's like
I got Tony Stewart's fumes for $29.99.
Exactly. When they want their fix, they just open the bag a little bit and let a little
like
out.
A
you know, until the, you know, Lasowski took me to my very first NHRA in Texas when we were Selzy and Capsy, and I couldn't fathom how close the average guy who's sitting on the top row, how close that guy can get to, you know, he can get within, you can almost touch the cars. I mean, you got little stanchions there, but I mean, I think every ticket's a pit pass, they say, isn't it? Pretty much it is?
Yeah, absolutely. That's the great thing. Every event, when you buy a ticket at an NHRA event, it gets your seat, but you also get to go, you have access all the way down to the teams. You get to watch the crew guys working on the car. And that's one of the impressive things where NASCAR, they don't even touch the motors anymore at the track.
No.
Every run on an NHRA car, they're taking the motors apart, putting new rods and pistons in it and bearings, doing the whole service of it. Then they do the warm-up in the pit area after they've rebuilt it, and that's where the fans go crazy. So
do you think there's something we could do to get the motors to last more than a quarter mile?
No. 11,000 horsepower, bud.
Yeah.
I got something to show you, buddy.
They
got
to take them apart. I mean, and they're literally like a ticking time bomb when they go down through there.
Oh, the crazy thing to look at, too, is the fuel pump. So you see how much fuel they flow?
Look at, hey, how about this guy being one of the greatest of all time right here on your top of your screen up here? This is from my track this weekend. And Brady passed Jack in all-time wins at USAC Friday night at my track. And so Jack came on down.
Jack Hewitt.
Tony, did you ever race with Jack back in the day?
I raced with him a lot back in the day. And it was, like
would
racing
he,
with
would
Dale
run
Earnhardt.
Really? Would he get you dirty? Would he get you?
No, he didn't drive you dirty, but he was one of those guys that you knew that if you drove him dirty at all or did something wrong, he was going to... At the bare minimum, you were going to have a conversation. I got along great. Jack and I are great friends.
I love Jack. He lives down in Florida now.
Does he really?
Yeah, he does. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, we parked side by side at Eldora Speedway the year that he won all four divisions at the Four Crown Nationals.
Only guy ever to win to do that.
So it was pretty cool to be parked next to him that weekend. We had a lot of fun with him and his wife.
Now, there's a handful of guys that won. But two or three forms of USAC in 1 year, are you one of them? You're one of them, but what are they? Silver Crown, Midget, and Sprint?
Yeah, the Crown Jewels are the National Midget Series, the National Sprint Car Series, and the Silver Crown Division. And we were the second driver to win all three of those divisions, but the first driver to win them all in one season. So
I got to tell you, we had them there this past weekend, and they still, dirt racing wise, are some of my the funnest cars to watch. I mean, those guys drive.
Yeah.
I mean,
they're not driving it off the front tires. They're doing everything with the back tires. So if they want the car to turn more, they just use a little more throttle and get the back end to swing out more. They want it to go the opposite direction.
How good were you in non-wing 410? How good were you? You were good in everything. Of the three, what were you the best in?
Probably the midget, I feel like. I mean, I liked them because they had about 330, 340 horsepower, and they weighed 900 pounds.
Right.
So the power-to-weight ratio was really good. And a lightweight car like that, like you mentioned earlier, if the car wasn't right, I could manipulate it with my feet and hands. And make it do, you know, what it didn't want to do.
What's your Mount Rushmore of racing?
Well, which division?
No, all of racing of all time. Man. Racing of, I have a Mount Rushmore.
I think you would have to, I think the first two that are no-brainers, you'd have to put A.J. Foyt and Mario Andretti. And you have to say A.J. Foyt first, because if you say Mario Andretti and then you put A.J. behind it, he doesn't even want to be on the list.
And if A.J. hears it, he'll try to beat you up.
Exactly. So you got to go A.J. first, then Mario Andretti.
Right.
I would say John Force has to be on that list from NHRA, because just nobody's done it as well for as long as he has. And then this is where it gets really hard, probably on the last one.
Yeah.
You got to have.
Because you got to maybe think about yourself a little bit.
No. You got to think about the King, Richard Petty, or Dale Earnhardt Sr., or Jimmy Johnson. One of
or
those
how
three
about one
has
of the F1
on
guys? You know, how about, you know,
Lewis Hamilton. Yeah. If you're going to pick anybody from Formula One, it's got to be Lewis Hamilton, in my opinion.
You're building a house in Arizona, I heard.
Dude, I'm dragging my feet like my legs broke. That's how much I'm dragging my feet to build a house.
I don't even understand how you do it. I know some of the things and investments that you're in, and I don't even understand how you do it, bud. And now you're on Fox, and now you're racing again, and you got World of Outlaw teams, and you got in Xfinity. Like, how do you do it, bud? I mean, and you look good, too. You look pretty damn good.
Like I mentioned earlier, I ran 11 races total last year, and it was the busiest year I've ever had in my career. And you and I've known each other forever.
Yep.
And you've known when I've had busy seasons.
I've used to see where Eddie would give you your sheet and it was literally a sheet, and sometimes you were triple booked the day.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you were lucky. I know one of those months I had 2 days off for the entire month.
Now add Leah in there, who has, sponsor obligations, and NHRA is very much even more pro-sponsor and hospitality than what you're used to as far as, NASCAR. And, I mean, it's got to be overwhelming.
It is a little bit, but that's a part of it this year of running the alcohol car with NHRA that I'm really excited about, because When the Nitro cars are up there, I get to watch Leah run. I get to watch Matt run. When that's over, then I go back, and then I go change, and I get to put my uniform on, and then I get to go run. So it's, where before when I had Donnie Schatz and Steve Kinzer driving for me with the Wings Sprint cars,
right,
we all ran at the same time. So this is a really cool deal with NHRA this year where I get to get in the car and I get to make my runs, but we're kind of like the support division to the Nitro teams and the pro teams. So I get to do all of it on the same weekend, and that's something that it's fun. It makes the day fun for me. It's a little more challenging because I've got to watch the schedule and make sure that, if I'm up watching Nitro, if alcohol's right behind that, I've got to change before I go up there and have my uniform on to watch. So it's going to be a lot of fun this year. I'm super excited about starting the season at the Gator Nationals here. Like I mentioned, we get to run the baby Gators the week before, so that'll be a good tune-up race for us to get ready for the Nationals the 10th through the 12th.
Has there been any form of racing that you have not done that you want to?
Barstool, probably, or hard.
I got to drive a Barstool, bud.
Did you?
Yes,
did you win it?
No, I crashed.
You crashed?
My fat ass on top of that thing, I was top heavy.
I bet.
So,
Tony Stewart told me one time, he was driving me around Lakeland, son of a bitch, put me in his car.
Oh, that was so much fun.
And just told me they were just going to cut in the brakes. They weren't going to do anything. Next thing I know, he's going up to, they're doing the full deal, and we're getting close to the wall, and I'm dying. I'm literally dying. And please pull in. Please pull in.
That's not what you were saying.
Yeah, well, I was.
You were screaming, and you were like, please stop.
Yeah, and I'm like, and you turn around and said, say you're a bitch. And I go, I'm the biggest bitch ever. I'm the biggest, fattest
I
bitch
I did make him
ever.
Say that. I wasn't going to say that. You told on yourself.
It's okay. I go, I'm the biggest, fattest bitch ever. I'm a girl. I have a vagina, whatever. Let me in, please. And he goes, and so we get out of the car, and I go, what if we would have crashed? And he goes, Tony Stewart doesn't crash on his own. People crash me sometimes, but I don't crash on my own.
Well, and the other thing was I was in a full fire suit with a helmet on and a seat with seat belts.
Yeah.
He was in shorts, a t-shirt, and was sitting on a packing blanket.
With a roll cage,
no helmet.
With the fuel line running between my legs.
Yeah.
Well, that wasn't going to be your biggest issue, trust me.
Yeah, trust me.
But I can promise you, with him on the right side of the car, it didn't drive the same.
No, you pretty much floored it through the...
So what you're saying is that had you hit the wall, it would have been his fault.
No.
Absolutely. Yeah, no doubt.
It'd be push. Is Fox wearing you out to continue to, because I thought you did a great job. It's just a different feel with you and Clint in there. And so are they wearing you out to do more?
Well, the sad part is, you know, Kevin Harvick let the cat out of bag at the LA Coliseum. Kevin's going to be in the booth full time next year for Fox. So I'm actually getting fired. I've got five more events this year with Fox, and I love doing it. But the great thing is I'm also getting the opportunity to do the broadcast for the NHRA side as well. So I'm going to do a couple races with Fox again at the NHRA. I know we're doing Chicago. The Chicago event, alcohol doesn't run, so I'm going to do the full broadcast for the Chicago event, which is cool because NHRA hasn't been at Joliet for years, so it's bringing the series back there is going to be awesome. So cool. I'm excited about it. I like doing the TV stuff. You know, you and I have had a lot of conversations about it. You've done all this stuff forever, and I called and relied a lot on you for
I'm the one,
advice.
And a lot of people don't realize that I'm the one that got his XM radio deal. I'm the one that put that one together. Nice. I went into the bosses before they started hating me, and I said, "Hey, you guys got to get Tony Stewart in here to do it. Him and Matty Yoakam, and you guys did that for a couple years, I think."
We learned by the second show that literally when I would get, you know, if I was in Charlotte, we would do it from Matt's house, and we had the ability to be split up. If I was in Indiana, I had a studio set up in the house. But I had to drink a shot of Jack before the show because I couldn't relax. Yeah, I was super nervous doing it. So now all these years later, now they've got me doing TV broadcasts.
Now you're doing TV, man, looking like a million bucks. How about you? Where are you spending most of your time, Indiana?
Honestly, with our schedule the way it is, and with all the things that we're doing, it's kind of back and forth. I mean, I've literally by the end of the day today, I'll have been in Florida for 2 weeks already. And I don't leave Florida till March 17th, with the exception of Friday flying out to Fontana to do the Fox broadcast for the NASCAR race. And then I literally come back and get ready for the Baby Gator Nationals the next weekend, and then the Gator Nationals the following weekend.
What kind of plane you got nowadays? Remember when you used to have that badass one? Oh, man.
Well, it's still pretty badass, but it's more
economical.
Well, it's a better plane for us to get into smaller airfields, which a lot of times are closer to the dirt tracks and stuff we go to. We've got a Citation CJ4 now.
Yeah. Nice.
You had a CJ2 when we were hanging out with you? Was it a 2? Wow. I think, how have I been living like this? Kind of like when you find out that you've been paying a fortune for wireless when Mint Mobile has phone plans for $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan. You're thinking, wow, how have I been affording getting gouged so bad? It's time to make the switch to Mint Mobile and get unlimited talk, text, and data for $15 a month. And I mean, Mint Mobile's quality of wireless service is unbelievable. Say bye-bye to the overpriced wireless plan, jaw-dropping monthly bills, and unexpected overages where they slow you down and completely screw with you. Mint Mobile is here to rescue you with premium wireless plans starting at just $15 a month. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. Use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and bring your phone number along with your existing contacts. Ditched overpriced wireless with Mint Mobile's limited plan deal and get 3 months of premium wireless service for $15 a month. Get this new customer offer and your new 3-month unlimited wireless plan for only $15 a month. Go to mintmobile.com/Bubba. That's mintmobile.com/BUBBA. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/Bubba. $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speed slower than 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fee, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Well, I think for a while, we had the Falcon 50, which that was badass.
I don't think I ever got to be on the Falcon 50.
Oh, man, that was the one you wanted to be on.
No, I know that was badass. That could almost make it across the pond, could it not?
Yeah. But that thing, when you fired it up, it was like shooting dollar bills out the back.
Exactly. Oh,
That was the worst part of that.
I mean, just sitting on the tarmac, you're probably burning, you know, 5 Gs, weren't you, just on the tarmac?
You would go to races with us, and after the race is over, I mean, think about this. Every week, every Sunday, these NASCAR drivers, they run during the day, and as soon as it's over, they all haul ass to the airport.
Right. That was the best race. That was the best race.
Yeah, and you sit there and watch all these guys ripping out of the bus lot to try to get to the airport. To sit in line and burn fuel, and I'm like, and I understood it. You know, a lot of these guys have young children that had school the next day, so they try to get home, put their kids to bed, and see their family and stuff after a long weekend. So you and I, we'd sit in the bus and just
hang out
and
get in trouble.
Wait till the pilot called and say, "Yeah, there's three of them in line now," and we'd go jump in, fire up, take off right away.
Wait for Mike Arnie to give me dirty looks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we were talking on the way over here. I said, "Yeah, it took 2 years for Arnie to finally have."
He still hates me.
No, he loves you now. Okay. He loves you, but it took us 2 full years of absolutely no. We are not doing this show. This guy's nuts, which you are nuts, but we love you anyway.
But I've really muffled it down.
And that's
really,
with Eddie trying to help too.
You're somewhat neutered a little bit.
I'm very neutered. I'm very neutered. I'm neutered and I'm old, you know.
Yeah, but I'm telling you, us old guys, we just have more knowledge.
How's old Godfather doing?
It's terrible. He doesn't feel good. He's been sick.
No.
He had COVID.
Shame.
And I retired. When I retired, it was really hard on him. So you know, I'm trying to find a way to get him back involved.
You're not retired, buddy.
No, not at all. Not even close.
You're not retired at all.
I just keep shifting around like the Grateful Dead. I keep moving around here and there and trying different things.
How do you think your NASCAR program's going to do this year?
I'm excited about it. I mean, at LA, at the Coliseum, I mean, Ryan Preece in his first race
for
us at SHR.
I really like that guy. I do.
If we didn't have the fuel pump issue, he's probably going to win the race.
Yeah.
So, you know, we should have won there. Eric Amarola was probably the strongest SHR car at Daytona this week, but all of them, by the time they got to Saturday after the last practice, they all were happy with their car. They all showed strength. Priest ran up front. Eric ran up front. Harvick ran up front. Briscoe ran up front and led. I mean, they all led or ran in the top two at some point during the race. So, I mean, we had strength. We had speed. But it's just Daytona. It's a wreck fest. And
it is.
You take really nice cars there, and then you take them back in a basket when you leave here. So
and don't forget, like, you own it, so that's dollars to you. Like, you're thinking, oh, my God, there's 400 grand right there. Just wad it up, right?
400? It was worse than that. I mean, we had three cars in one wreck, and I'm like, oh, my God.
What's a car cost all in, Tony? I know you can't, like, R&D and wind tunnel, and like, but, like, just roll, like, a car. Like, is it 150, 200, you think?
Oh, it's way more than that. You're probably spending $500,000 on a car. Yeah. Mm. Easily. And it might be more than that, honestly, with all the technology.
And how about NHRA? Is it as expensive?
It's expensive. I tell everybody, I'm like, NHRA is not expensive until you start it. When you start the motor, then it gets real expensive.
That's when the dollars start. It might as well be dollars coming out of those tailpipes, right?
Yeah, but man, it's so cool to watch. But honestly, I mean, you know, we're NASCAR on the NASCAR side. In our prime, when I was driving, we would have 17 cars for each driver. The NHRA side, we got a primary and a backup car, and, you know, they just don't crash cars a lot.
You had 17 cars when you were in NASCAR?
Per driver and team.
Whoa.
Because you'd have super speedway cars, short track cars, road course cars, intermediate cars, concrete cars. You had cars, you had backup cars, and cars and cars and cars.
Wow. What? Do you still got your remote control business?
Yeah, RC Car Company with CustomWorks RC, yeah.
How's it? You still doing pretty good?
Yeah, and the cool thing, and this was just kind of dumb luck, but the industry kind of shifts. I mean, it you know, people in the industry, they'll get into carpet oval racing, and then they'll get on to dirt oval racing. Now the hot thing is RC drag racing.
I've seen that.
Yeah.
So Lee and I, 2 years ago, we were at my house in Indiana at the ranch, and our team guys were coming from Charlotte. They were driving to Milwaukee and said, hey, can we come stay the night? Well, absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, they got there late. Lee is already in bed. Come in, he shows me the car, and we used to just build dirt oval cars. Now we're building drag cars. So our guys come in and they show me the car, and they were driving to Milwaukee to a race that paid $15,000 to win.
Jeez.
So I take the car in, and at that time, this is all, you know, during COVID and the prize money was way down. To win a nitro division was $15,000. So I literally went in there and woke Lee up. I said, hey, check this car out. She's like, oh, it's really cool. I said, guess what? It's racing for the same amount of money to win this weekend as you are.
As you are.
That's how big
now, are they all
RC
electric?
Drag racing is. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's 200 feet is the length of the track, and they do it in like 1.7 seconds now.
Dang.
It's crazy. But it doesn't hurt. You crash, it doesn't hurt at all.
No, it doesn't. And it's really not even that expensive, really. I mean, new bodies. What's a new body costing today?
Body. If those guys crash, it's way more than a body. They're wadding crap
replacing
up.
Everything.
Yeah, it's expensive.
Tony Stewart's worst investment and Tony Stewart's best investment. Not necessarily on gains and returns, but on pain in the assness and likeness.
the category for pain in the ass part would be huge. The best thing I ever did was marry my wife Leah.
Well, yeah, that's
a no-brainer.
Yes, obviously. I got her shirt on, by the way, because my boy Gooch sold me a couple shirts.
Dang, she's out of the room right now.
Don't let Misha find out. So anyway, but like what is like and like a lot of people don't know. I think you're involved in Flow Racing. You obviously own Eldora. You know you got a drag race team. You got an NHRA team. You got an Xfinity team, you got a NASCAR team,
part owner in SRX series, the All-Stars.
We've
got a lot of stuff.
You got a lot of stuff.
A lot.
What's your favorite? And you know what? Rather than see what's your least favorite, because that could piss some people off, what's your favorite, Eldora?
I would say Eldora and my NHRA teams. I absolutely love the atmosphere at an NHRA race. It's so different. Where NASCAR, I mean, it was hard to get in the pit area for people, and it was chaotic. It's chaotic in a different way, but the fans in the NHRA races are unbelievable, and they're respectful of your time. I mean, if you're there working on the car and they're standing 5 feet away, they're not sitting there trying to get you to stop working on the car to come take a picture. They love watching the teams and the drivers work on the car, and they love being close to the action. But
it's a smaller niche, but it's a very loyal niche.
Absolutely. But the numbers, I mean, I'm blown away by how many people are in the pit area to come to an NHRA race. I mean, it's awesome. The atmosphere is, everybody's excited. They're happy to be there. And that's something that you don't see at a lot of motorsports these days. So I love it. It's not because I'm doing it, but that's part of the reason why I'm participating in NHRA this year.
Because you like it.
I like how they do things. I like how they take care of the race fans and
Sumo told
take
me
care
goes,
of the sport.
I'll tell you one thing, goddamn, you wouldn't believe the hospitality game. I mean, it's a whole nother level. That's what Sumo said.
Well, and part of that is, I mean, you think about it, you know, a qualifying day on Saturday, the cars are going to make two runs. Well, that's, if you look at that on time, from the time they hit the gas till the end, I mean, it's less than 8 seconds for two runs. So what do you do the rest of the time? Well, that's why being in the pits is so important for the fans to come down, get to watch the teams and drivers work on the car, disassemble the motors, rebuild the motors.
Completely disassemble the motors.
And the atmosphere is unreal. And what we do with hospitality, you know, at a NASCAR race, you want people in hospitality for 3.5-4 hours watching the race. Well, instead, now we take these people, and now for 3.5-4 hours, they're in the pit area watching these guys work on cars. And the great thing is our partners are able to come do B2B business with each other, which is really good for us.
Yeah, I'm so excited for you, my friend, and you're doing so well, and you're going to be racing again, which I think is just something that you always have to be doing. I just, yeah. I mean, until you're in a wheelchair, I think you're going to have to be, I mean, you, I think
he'll
you
still
even,
race.
He'll race wheelchairs. He will.
I got to be racing something.
He'll
you
the
know
world's
that,
fastest but. Wheelchair.
I know you had some bad subject. Don't get mad at me. I know you had some bad luck at the Rumble this year. I was looking.
Oh, yeah. We were fast. We had a good car. It was just, I had motor problems the second day and
is the munchkin
thing.
Okay? Is it okay body wise?
Yeah.
Okay, it was just motor problems.
Yeah, we just had it was just little things. I mean, it was we were really fast up there. We just had bad luck.
Do you have enough time to tell the $50 bill story?
Oh man, I hate $50 bills.
No, I know, and I got ribbed and was told one time to give you a $50 bill.
Oh.
And I almost got punched in the face. Of course, Sumo told go up here and give him a $50. See how it works out.
Yeah, I would have clubbed you down like a baby seal.
I know you did. And there's a story behind it, and it's Dale Sr. involved, is it not?
Yeah, Dale Sr. was real, real superstitious about $50 bills, and we had Ronnie Crooks was my shot guy, and we were at Martinsville, and they lined the cars up on the racetrack, and he goes, after the national anthem, he goes, take this $50 bill down to Dale. He said, wait till he gets in the car there. Don't do it when he's outside the car. So I watched.
It's like an offering, right? Like you know.
Yeah, just hey, good luck today. And so I went to hand that thing inside there, and Richard Childress clotheslined me. And Dale Sr. couldn't suck back in the seat as any further than he already was. Like, he had a panic look on his face. And that is the same day that Kenny Irwin and I had our big scrap, and that changed everything for me as well. Like, not in a great way. So, I mean, I'm superstitious as all get out. I do not want to touch a $50
no,
bill.
No, you will not.
And I literally almost got a lady fired from Joe Gibbs Racing for putting $50 bills in my per diem.
Really?
Yep, absolutely. I threw a fit because they were terrible luck.
And you also won't stay in a room that ends in one that equals 13 or is 13.
Yeah,
am I right
if it's
on
got
that?
13 in the room number, I won't stay on the 13th
didn't they give
floor.
You a, didn't NASCAR give you like a hard card one year with 13 in it and you had them change it?
The hard card was 13. I'm like, you idiots.
Oh, my God.
And I sent it back. And then they sent another one back, and the numbers added up to 13. I said, let's try this one more time. Listen, but all of us drivers are superstitious.
Yeah, but you're the exception. You're super superstitious.
Yeah. Yeah, very much so. But I mean,
so 13, no $50 bills, anything else?
I didn't like green. Like, yeah, I didn't want anything to do with green race cars. And okay, some of the cars that I drove when I started at Joe Gibbs Racing were hand-me-downs from Bobby Labonte.
Okay. You had some green in them.
And sometimes you'd see a hint of green, so I'd take a black Sharpie and I'd cover the green with a Sharpie.
No
or you just wreck
nothing.
It. You just wreck it so you get a new
no
body.
Teals for me.
No teals.
Right.
What's that, bub?
Or you just wreck if a car had like one of Bobby's hand-me-downs, some green, you just wall it so you can get a new body.
No, I never did that. I mean, back then, those guys, I mean, when guys built cars in NASCAR in that day and age, they were craftsmen.
They were
hand making the body panels. Now we buy the pieces from NASCAR, and you hope they fit when you get them, and it doesn't. The craftsmanship isn't there anymore. They don't have to do it. The cars look awesome. The new bodies are awesome.
They are.
The new car is an appealing car to look at, obviously. But it's taken a lot of the craftsmanship.
You're one lap took one race at all, and I knew you guys were skirting around the issue a little bit. You talked about it on Fox this past Sunday, but you know Kyle Busch did a segment on the one that he wants to win. You know, is the Daytona 500. You are the winningest. You and Dale Sr. I think are tied or 1-2 with regards to the amount of victories at Daytona. But never Dale had one 500. Yeah. That one, the one 500 is the one thing on your bucket list that, you know, got away from you that will probably forever, you know, not haunt you, but just disturb you. If there's one to go and you're leading the Daytona 500, who do you want on your back bumper?
A teammate.
Yeah.
Somebody that you know is not going to
dump you.
Out
of all the guys you've raced over the years, who could push you the best? Kevin?
Dale Earnhardt Jr., actually.
Really?
Yeah, Dale and I, we were never teammates, never drove for the same team, and I did drive his Xfinity car some.
Right.
But we got to be really good buddies at restrictor plate tracks at Daytona, Talladega. We would get hooked up together, and it got to the point where we did such a good job of drafting together that the rest of the field would do everything they could the entire race
to break
keep
you
us
two up.
Broke apart and split up in different lines in different areas. So
now, are there guys, Tony, that just don't, just can't hook on good and are just back there beating you up, and there's other guys that are just so good at it?
Yeah, there are. I mean, Brad Keselowski he's a good pusher, but it's sketchy. I mean, he hits you hard. So when he hits you, if you watch the race and you watch the qualifying race on Thursday, anybody that was in front of Keselowski, their cars looked terrible. They were all over the place. Well, it's because Brad's pushing them all over the place. So some guys are have a little more finesse when it comes to the pushing.
You gonna attempt the 500 again?
No, I'm too old for that.
You're not gonna
Morgan Shepherd it?
No, definitely not.
Morgan Shepherd.
Here's the thing. I mean, to go back to the Daytona 500 part, the two biggest races that I never won were the Indy 500 and the Daytona 500.
God,
but man, you look at the races now, and the great thing was Ricky Stenhouse didn't wreck somebody to win the 500 this year. He drove his way to the lead, and then the caution came out behind him. And that I respect, but man, when Austin Dillon dumped Eric Amarola and, I can't remember the 34 card.
The guy's name.
Michael McDowell. When McDowell won the race, the two leaders took each other out. I mean, that's not how you want to win the biggest stock car race of the year. And it's like, it's the first race of the year for NASCAR. It's their biggest race of the year, and it ends in a crash fest all the time. And I keep looking, going, how do we call this a success? So I'm glad to get that weekend behind us now. I'd go from 500 horsepower cars to a 5,000 horsepower car that I get to drive, and and go back to real racing again.
Did you see the big wreck I had at Saturday night at my track?
No. Did you have a big yard sale?
Oh my God! I gotta find it. And wait till you see this, buddy. And as a track owner, this is the worst thing that you can see for a track owner. Here it is. This is the B main. This is the B.
This is where you expect to see some cars. Yeah, this is B main.
This guy here, the guy is from West Terre Haute, Indiana. That causes the carnage.
What's his name?
I don't know, but he drives for Honest Abe Kevin. Kevin somebody. I think he's a rookie. Really nice guy. And in his post interview, he said I was his favorite radio personality because he remembered me from Terre Haute. But wait till you see how much money he cost me. You ready, bud?
Let it rip.
Give him the sixth on the field. That'll shuffle Maddox back into the bump spot. Swanson continues to pester for P2 and it's bad.
Oh, yeah. Look at those dollars. I will tell you this. Watch.
Right in front of the crowd, too.
Now, Tony, I'm going to say something that you will 100% back me up. Watch the boys from MedStar, the best ever.
They're there before the car stops.
MedStar is there.
All right.
Turning the fuel off and save the guy.
Two things we're going to watch here when we replay this. We're going to watch this idiot try to.
His name's Kevin Newton.
Kevin Newton.
Oh, I know Kevin Newton. I knew that's who it was.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's not a rookie by any means. He just drives like a rookie.
My God. I could have put Lummy out there.
But he's a cool guy. Super cool guy.
The
things we're going to see is we're going to watch all the fencing that Bubba has to pay for and replace now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But before this thing even finishes, the guy in the flag stand there, watch his reaction because this car is flipping and ripping the fence out
towards him.
Right in front of him and coming straight at him.
And they'll show. Now watch MedStar. And so MedStar, because they're the best, he goes underneath the car, Tony, and turns the fuel off. Most people don't know to do that.
Well, not only that, and what
Red
most people
out,
don't know,
MedStar.
The guy right there, that guy saved my life.
Saved your life.
That was the
in
guy.
In Missouri,
that,
wasn't it?
No, in Oskaloosa, Iowa. When it blew my leg out. I was
already
bleeding
on the
so
scene.
Bad.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
That guy right there. Yep. Doug Tony out. Yep. All right, look at my Bubba Army obnoxious clownmobile.
Dude,
what is that?
That's,
what are you getting ready to do?
The
shoot
van?
Back to the Future 4?
Dark Match 18.
Ghostbusters 6?
If
you're Bubba,
so
you got to be over the top. Look at this.
Here, but if you
that
guys
thing would take
stay
about
back
6 miles
from
to get
the fence,
to 88 miles an hour.
Up and down the car he comes. Kevin Newton is okay. He was the one that rode the wall earlier on.
Yeah. So, no, he rode the wall earlier in the heat. And almost did the same thing.
Maybe he thought it was going to work the second time.
I don't know. Man, up in turn four, you get up in no man's land up at my place, man. That flattens out over there, and you better have a handle on it.
Yeah, it does. But that's the thing. That's what's fun about your racetrack is that it has character, and it's a very technical track. It's not like you're running Mach 12 around there.
Didn't you say one time my track is one of the most technical tracks you've ever driven?
Yes, absolutely.
Here we go.
For those of you in the stands, we'll follow along with Flo Racing. But Newton got way wide coming out turn number four. Clipped the wall.
Look at Flagman. He's trying to figure out if he needs to jump headfirst off the stand right there.
Exactly.
At that point in time, she was all
he's like, all right, we're good now.
Over.
Yeah. Yeah. So here, and so they interview Kevin here.
Scott and all the guys got the car running really well. And it's what the,
here we go.
DJ of all time.
Here we go.
It's a little rough as well, but say I'm sorry, Bubba, for taking your fence down. Bubba the Love Sponge is my favorite DJ of all time.
Yeah, thanks, Kevin.
Yeah, sorry,
he's saying
Bubba.
That because he doesn't want you to send him a bill for the fence.
Yeah.
Right.
Sumo's already been on the phone. I bet you Setzer can send us 9 poles, and I can send the Brown Brothers down there, and we can have that thing fixed up by the weekend, Bubba.
By the weekend, Sumo would have it fixed in a day and a half.
And
it would take a full day just to get the people down there. He'll have it knocked out in half a day.
I get the Brown Brothers down there. They can stay in the RV. Setzer make the poles. We'll have those things done. I've already had that conversation.
And they had it good enough where they could finish the race.
Yeah. I actually had to get on we had to zip tie and bring in temporary.
Please don't tell me you zip tied stuff.
Yes, Tony, we zip tied and then we moved everybody out of that section, you know, but we weren't going to, look at fence repair delay, look right there on Flo. Is it true you got a little something to do with Flo?
I don't.
Oh,
I don't.
I thought,
other than they're a partner with ours with Eldora Speedway and the All-Star Circuit of Champions.
Oh, okay. I thought maybe, I was like, God, how much richer can Tony get if he owns Flo?
Richard, Bud, you ought to see the bills I pay on these race teams.
Yeah, but I also know
I went from comfortable to not as comfortable. I mean, I'm not ramen noodles. I'm not there yet. But
hold on, you're not as broke as when you drove. I forget some car from Columbus with your girlfriend and you to Milwaukee, yeah. And it paid like $7,500 to win, and you fed the entire crew afterwards, and you put the money in the trunk because you'd never had that much money before.
Listen, we were so broke back then. I bought like a cheap $10 briefcase to just try to look like a professional driver, which nobody was carrying briefcases around.
All drivers
so I looked
have
like
briefcases.
An idiot.
Briefcases.
Right. So I bought this briefcase, and we literally go from Rushville, Indiana, to Milwaukee, and I was going to run the USAC race
right.
at the Milwaukee Mile.
Big so track too.
Dirt race the night before. It paid. I think it paid $6,000 total, and I got. When we drove there, we had to stop and get gas one time, and then we went to McDonald's and we got a child-sized Coke, a small fry, and a cheeseburger, and split it.
Yeah,
because we didn't have enough money, and then we didn't have enough money to get in the pits. We had to borrow money to get in the pits to get our pit passes. Luckily, win the race. They paid me in fives and tens.
Oh.
So this new $10 briefcase I bought, I look like a gangster.
You did. With all the cash.
You
like
did.
You opened the lid up, and it was absolutely slap full. So
that's
two
funny.
Things I did: I took the guys to dinner.
The crew
took the shoes off that I had, my street shoes that stunk so bad because I couldn't afford a new pair of shoes, threw them over the fence. I wore my driver's shoes to the hotel, and my girlfriend went and bought me a new pair of tennis shoes the next day, and then we went to Milwaukee and race.
And you thought you were loaded, did you not?
Dude, I was loaded. I mean, for me, that's the most money I'd ever had
time. What's the biggest paying race you've ever won?
My very first win with SHR, the All-Star race, it was paid $1 million.
That's right.
Win.
I remember that.
Yeah.
That was in the Office Depot.
We're working on NHRA now. We're trying to get NHRA to do $1 million to win race. So
why don't they? Wow.
I don't know. We're working on it.
Tell them you're a promoter, Eldora. You know how to do all that kind of stuff.
I'm all for it, but I think it should pay $1 million to win the alcohol class.
Not the funny cars or anything like that.
Yeah, no, I'm so excited. I wish people could understand. I haven't been this excited about racing in a long time. And, you know, I love everything we do with NASCAR. I love what we do with our Sprint Car Series, Eldora, the All-Stars, our
TQs.
This
is your new baby. This is your new shiny object.
But it's not just that it's a shiny toy. I mean, this is probably one of the most challenging things I've done in motorsports. It is that different. And I think that's why I like it so much is it is a huge challenge to do things right. And, you know, like I said, I'm driving a car with 5,000 horsepower.
And
it's like you got to be on top of it.
Anything you can ever, you've lived your life, unbelievably in all types of ways, but you've never been married and raced against the person. Well, you've never been married, and congratulations on that. But
thanks.
Now you could potentially end up competing against your wife. How's that going to work, Smoke?
It's not. It's a terrible idea.
Leah Pritchard and Tony Stewart are lined up here. This is for the finals, for the Wally. Do you redline on purpose, kid?
If you want to sleep in your own bed, you do. I mean, the best thing you can do is just sit there and go after you, because if you beat her, you may not even be able to sleep in the same house that night.
Yeah, you may be in Columbus. She might be in Lake Havasu.
Because she's every bit as uber competitive as I am. So
I have not met her. I hope that she doesn't have Bubba pre-hate, because anybody that you've ever hooked up with has always has Bubba pre-hate because they Googled me or something like that, and nobody that you've ever dated has pre-liked me. Have they? No. So hopefully she hasn't been.
Yeah, I got nothing for that. He's right on this one.
Yeah, Tony can't.
But
get
it was for different
that.
Reasons.
Hey,
everybody had a different reason.
When was the last time Tony Stewart was
reasons.
Locked up with a non-rebuttal? Never.
Yeah, it doesn't happen very often. But
so,
you were so right on that. It was like I had nowhere to even go with it.
No, I mean, you know, the Mexican hated me, and
she hated everything.
That's true.
She just started with hate, and that was her exit strategy.
That was her par hate.
Yeah.
But I have been told by the mayor of Columbus, and by the way, Lummy, do you have your most famous people from Columbus, Indiana?
Yes, I do.
Do you have your list? Do you know we have a category specifically for Columbus, Indiana?
Listen, this could go really good for you or bad for you, depending on where I land on this
well,
list.
Well, I think it's going to go. I'm going to have to take my lumps nonetheless.
See how you do, Bud.
Lummy, go ahead and you got to read the. You got to. Yep.
Number one should be obvious.
The most popular people born, lived, or resided in Columbus, Indiana are as followed. Number one, sumo. Number two,
that's true.
Tony Stewart.
That's true.
Number three, Jeff the Gooch Patterson.
Number not four, true.
Number four?
Number four, Keith Koontz.
Keith Koontz?
Yeah, that's true.
Number five, you have Felicia Fay, who replaced Mike Pence.
Felicia Fay is an OnlyFans girl that's the stepdaughter to the judge.
That's right.
Okay.
Number six, Shane Sheldon Brown.
Yep.
Number seven, Porkchop. Number eight is Shane Ross. And number nine is Blaine Keel.
R.I.P.
Blair Keel, R.I.P.
Yeah. That's pretty close.
Who are we missing?
We are missing two main people, I would say, that are should be mentioned. Mike Pence, obviously.
Well, we had him in there and we pulled him
out.
Well,
you just missed the top 10. I mean, it was close.
He used to be fourth or fifth when he was vice president. But we went down to Mike Pence Park and it's where all the people shoot heroin and I had to take him off the list.
Yeah, absolutely. We got to clean it up. If we can clean it up, he might be back at ninth or tenth.
I actually did a thing on my YouTube channel. I said, let's go to Mike Pence Park and play. And then we went to Tony Stewart's park and played. And I played on all your equipment and it was beautiful and well kept and nice. And then all of his had heroin addicts, and I'm sorry.
Who's the other person?
Chuck Taylor. Chuck Taylor All-Stars.
The Chuck Taylor? I might put him ahead of Porkchop. I don't know.
I'd say it's pretty close. I mean, how do you not like Chuck Taylor All-Stars?
I think you got to probably put him, you know, I don't know.
And I don't know anything about this band, but I remember when I was a kid that this band was on the signs, the Four Freshmen.
I don't remember.
It was a musical group.
You know, Nelson PK might know those.
Definitely is more his era.
Yeah, exactly. Tony, I can't thank you. I know I probably kept you longer than I was supposed to.
Don't worry about our schedule we're on today, bud. I mean, we're just strictly here for you. All these TV outlets and all this other stuff can wait,
obviously. Yeah, and I was probably in good with the NHRA guy. Now he hates my guts like Mike Arney.
Oh, no, I rode with him here. He hated you before we got here.
I've been trying to give good advertising. And you know, Tony, I think they're going to let me attend the NHRA and get me on my bus. I told him to put
that is the one thing that he actually did talk about on the way here is how excited he was to have you come to the Gator Nationals.
And,
so.
And we're going to just promote the hell out of it, and hopefully they'll let me park by you.
I haven't been to the Gator Nationals in years. I can't wait.
And hopefully let us, you know, give us, like, you know, some credentials and we get some free hot dogs. I'm just going to go to your... Sumo says, listen, once you get there, just go to Tony's place. He'll be taken care of, okay?
Yeah, we'll bring our pizza maker.
We'll bring our Presto pizza maker.
Yeah, we don't even need the pizza maker. We have good food.
But would you at least admit that I'm the one that turned you on to the Presto pizza maker?
Dude, if those people need to sponsor me. I need to have a PSA with them because I have gifted probably a dozen of those.
I know, but you didn't answer the question.
But yes, you absolutely did. Not only did you do that, we did something that was unprecedented when we won my second championship in 2005. The day that we're up at Bristol, Connecticut at ESPN's campus and have all the interviews after winning the championship, the lady on the way to the airport, one of the people from NASCAR, she goes, what do you want in your room? And we'll leave out one of the objects that we put in the room, but they took out a 100-year-old 14-person antique table out of the president's suite at the Waldorf Astoria. We had that taken out.
Put a poker table in there.
We put a poker table in there, had one hell of a poker game in there.
We had an exercise pole.
Yes.
What did you say? You're big on exercising.
Yes, we are. Even better when I get to watch somebody else exercise, so I'll be
right.
Honest.
Right. Sumo. And me and Sumo, while installing this pole,
broke the ceiling.
Broke the 100-year plaster. That was
literally broke the ceiling in the president's suite at the Waldorf Astoria Hotel in New York City.
And I will tell you, Tony...
And
was,
we didn't care at all about it.
It was
we
worth it.
We gave zero Fs about
Tony
it.
Tony Stewart was probably the last champion to really... party like a champion as far as NASCAR champions, because I think the final time you won it, I don't think you partied near like that.
I was fearful that I was going to get banned from NASCAR like we almost did after 2005.
You know,
have the Pizzazz pizza maker,
right?
A mini freezer in there that was loaded with Tombstone pizzas.
The first one you ever got, I took your Chevy SSR they let you borrow to a Walmart far away at like 2 a.m. to find this thing. And brought it back for you to take the next morning.
You were a god, though, when you did that.
Yeah. I remember
it was amazing.
When we were,
Bubba's idea.
When we were at the store with the Waldorf, whatever the hell, and me and Sumo, we had basketball shorts and T-shirts on, and they wouldn't let us up to the main floor. We're like, we're supposed to be staying with Tony Stewart. Yeah. We got keys to get in.
You show up to the Waldorf Astoria in gym shorts, T-shirts, and hot high tops that the laces weren't tied on. And
Tony,
their keys. The people giving our keys, which, you know, they stayed in the suite with us. they hand the keys and they look at these guys and they're like, these idiots are staying in the presidential suite here.
So then Mike Arney comes. He goes, you and Sumo need to go to the big guy's shop and get tuxedos.
Immediately.
So Sumo goes, well, goddamn, we got to go down and get some tuxedos now. You know. And so if we're going to go to this fancy ass dinner, and we got to. And so they sent us behind. They put us way in the back behind this pole.
In the dark.
Not an exercise pole, by the way, either. But yeah, but I will say, that's the best I've ever seen Bubba look and Sumo. I mean, they were high and tight.
Oh yeah, we were high and tight until JD Gibbs, and we tried to take a picture with JD and Joe, and they're like, they reluctantly took it. I do got a picture of JD.
All right, I got to go to work today.
I know
today.
You got to go. Hey, right, Tony,
thanks, Tony.
We're going to say goodbye to everybody. And
see you in a couple weeks.
See you in a couple weeks.
Yeah.
Thanks for letting me finish. You've been listening to the Bubba the Love Sponge Show.